We start with the financial vertigo yesterday that it would be a challenge for even the wildest summer amusement park to duplicate. The Dow Index dropped more than 1,000 points at the open, then all indices rose hundreds of points in a whipsaw day that saw huge moves in minutes and even seconds. Was it machines gone wild? Was it fear of the instability in China? Was it computer algorithms trying to react to the conflicting signals out of China? Stephen Guilfoyle is a stock trader on Wall Street who described yesterday as dodging a bullet that might come back again.
Bordering on the edge of panic, but not really quite there yet. I was here back in 1987. You know, that was a much more dire feeling in the gut of our stomachs than what we got. It was bad, and it could go there, but it's not there yet.
Well, it was dire enough for the Chinese. They took their most aggressive action in weeks today, cutting interest rates and flooding banks with liquidity. Who will be satisfied by this move, and does it help China's investors to understand what is going on? Joining us now from Hong Kong is Patrick McGee, a reporter for the Financial Times. Patrick, how do Chinese investors react to this instability? Is it machines there in Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Beijing? Or is it more human beings that are being driven by what the Chinese government does?
It's very much mom-and-pop investors that drive the market in China. So there's not actually all that many fund management companies. You don't have the same sort of Vanguard and BlackRock sort of investing where, you know, you and I might put a portion of our paychecks into the market and just have it passively sit there for years on end without really even ever checking it except for the monthly statement or something. Instead, you tend to have a lot of people that will actually trade in the middle of the day and only hold shares for a few days. And as a result, turnover on the Shanghai Composite is actually often higher than it is in the U.S. market, despite it being significantly smaller.
So the Chinese government has this advantage is that they say something and investors will actually take those commands as gospel. And yet they delayed for so long in the last several days and China's markets really declined significantly. What explains that, do you think?
Yeah, so just to back up a little bit, basically 12 months ago, Beijing and the People's Bank of China started putting out these editorials through the state mouthpieces that the Chinese people read each morning in the financial paper saying that we want to have a stock rally and that, you know, you should be investing in your stock. This is the sort of way to wealth creation. And it was pretty clear that China was doing this in order to create a wealth effect, especially during a time when China needed some stimulative action. And they really backed up those words with policies over the coming months. And with every little step they took, it was interpreted as a move that Beijing really wanted the stock market to continue going up. The problem is it basically got to absurd levels. So the Shenzhen Composite, which is sort of similar to the NASDAQ in a way in that it's got a lot of tech-heavy stocks, it went up something like 190% in less than 12 months. And when it began to fall, People's Bank of China basically didn't know what to do about it. And so when they tried to take action to prop up the market again, they ran into all sorts of trouble.
So you've got a government that's good at inflating a bubble, but not terribly good at dealing with the deflation. And that's what's going on right now. How long-lived is the effect of the action taken today, do you think? A few days, weeks, or has they steadied it for a while?
Yeah, it's actually really hard to say, especially because you've got this herd mentality in the China market. But the reason why equities fell so dramatically on Monday and then again dramatically on Tuesday was because Beijing basically completely kept mum on what they were going to do, if they were going to do anything at all. And it very much sounded like they'd given up the idea of trying to prop up the market. To some extent, it was a little bit surprising that they did act today. But on the other hand, it's completely in line with what they've been doing the last 12 months or so. So it actually really depends on whether it's taken to be a panicky response, in which case you could actually have a further downfall, or if it's taken to be a sign that Beijing does have your back. The only thing I would bet on is that you're not going to see stability tomorrow. It'll either be another sell-off or more likely a very big rebound.
Well, to bring it back to the to the Western Hemisphere, if there's a herd mentality in China, does it make any sense for Wall Street to react to the herd? And if it's machines that are reacting, this would seem not something that their software can deal with.
It's a really good question as to whether or not Westerners should react to the fall in the China market. For the most part, I would say no. I mean, the China market is pretty isolated in a way. I mean, if you need to prove that the Chinese market is very disconnected from the Chinese economy, all you have to look at is the fact that last year, China had its slowest growth rate in 24 years. And what did the stock market do? It more than doubled. Now, people should really be paying attention to the economy. I mean, if China's economy is slowing, that means they're buying fewer, you know, semiconductors from Korea, automobiles from Japan, And so that's really what matters. And I think the reason why you had a panicky response on Monday is less because the stock market fell by 8.5% and more from sort of the more indirect thing that had people thinking, what does China know that we don't know? And is China on the brink of a greater fall? And what does that mean for the economy? And so it was a sort of a knee-jerk reaction to sort of get out of any exposure to China amid a little bit of chaos.
Patrick McGee, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Patrick McGee is a reporter for the Financial Times, speaking to us from Hong Kong.